And welcome to Underground Horror Radio on podunkradio.com and also on Podbean, in case you left out on that. Oh, also sometimes on Florida Geek Scene whenever I remember to update it. But I'm really busy, so I forget. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We're here, not at Fright Nights, but we're going to talk about Fright Nights because that is awesome. And it's October. And I am with the man who ingeniously put together Fright Nights year after year with his hard staff of developers and costumed monsters and all kinds of other cool things. Craig McGinnis.
Hello.
Howdy. How you doing?
Good.
Welcome to Not Fright Nights, otherwise known as my studio out here in Northwood. Appreciate you coming over here.
No, it's cool. I like it. It's got the vibe. I got the vibe here. I like it. It's very artsy, which is nice. And you got all your artwork up, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because you're a man of many talents. You don't just have Fright Nights. You have art, music. You're always on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm lucky. I was blessed with a few talents and able to monetize them, make them into livings. So, yeah, man.
So Fright Nights this year, you got some new houses. And every year is new house, but you got some new stuff. Last year, I remember it was the 1st of October. So Halloween already passed. It was the last night. The compressor was loud. It was a lot of fun. We got to see things behind it. And you were like, we already got plans for now this year, 2015. And you were saying how, you know, you go to like the Netherworld Haunt conventions they have and stuff like, or Trans World, I think.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, you go there and you go, okay, this is what I want. This is what I don't want.
By the way, I have 2016's idea in my head.
You already got that.
Yes.
So what's the theme this year? Okay, Last year you had the city that was kind of like, past, future, kind of post-world, and that was really cool. Yeah. So what do you got this year?
So this year I brought on a co-designer because I have more more things to do behind the scenes on the business end of things, on the sponsorship end of things, and on the to help my operations manager a little bit. I mean, he does so much. But so I stepped back a little bit, a couple steps, and got a co-designer. Her name is Glennis. She's also our lead makeup artist and watching over the wardrobe, too. So she's a multi-talented individual, but it's called Animal Farm, another Orwell ripoff, because I just can't stop. I read the book, and then I'm like, oh, wow, this could be so devious. You know, you just take like the core of the story, and then what we did was put a little Dr. Moreau on it.
Well, that's awesome.
So you get the mutated halfway between scientific kind of, what is it? You can't tell. So a lot of mutants out there, a lot of half-beasts, things that should be on all fours that are standing, and vice versa.
That's got to be a hell of a makeup job to throw that together.
We bought some big, badass masks from Immortal this year, and they kind of rounded out the whole thing. Because we have a, I won't give them both away, but one of them, you've probably seen it in the commercial or on the promo video, is a cow. And he's got these giant horns, and we put it on this dude who's kind of big and strapping, and it's like, you see that coming at you down the way, you know.
That'd be kind
of
like,
get out of the way.
Especially if you got some strobes going or something. Like, you just like, what the fuck?
A little distraction. He comes bursting through a little entryway, and you're just not ready for it. So
that's cool.
The house is outside for a change.
Oh, okay. This figured, particular house.
Yeah, we figured why not.
You know,
it's a farm. So we built barn facade, and you got an old tractor out there, and it's pretty legit. There's a junkyard at the end.
That's awesome.
So we're happy about that one. Now, the building still holds three like it always does. You've got, first and foremost, is Meadow Lakes, which is a zombie outbreak, but not in the true sense. More of a virus-infected sickness kind of thing.
Rage kind of thing.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Set in this cute little neighborhood from the 50s. You know, it's got like that edge to it.
It's like Nuketown from going back to Call of Duty or something where you get the old 50s thing. That's
exactly.
Cool. Except they're zombies.
So the zombies are stylized. They're very well-dressed, I will say. we couldn't get a 57 Chevy in there, but you can kind of tell what's going on. So, yeah, small town taken over by zombies. Classic fodder. In the middle, we got Beyond the Gates, which we had something last year called Vile.
Yeah.
And this is a continuation of that story of the bridge between the underworld and here.
Right.
So last year was pretty much them coming to Earth. This is a little bit of them coming to Earth, but then you make the transformation down
to hell,
to the underworld.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So it's like this crazy nightmare mix of all these different scenes. At one point, I believe you're even in hell. This one room is, you'll know it when you see it. And you'll be like, oh my goodness, where am I? The room is just pulsating. That's all I'm going to say. The room is moving. The
entire That's awesome.
Room. Not literally, but according to your eyes when you get in there, man oh man. So last but not least, Memento Mori is a witch, voodoo, curses, that kind of thing. It's also a continuation
from last year's
ongoing story. Okay, originally the girls were in Sunnyville Orphanage from 2013. In 2014, they were in Flamingo Hotel, killing all the residents.
I saw that one.
Same two girls are now in New Orleans,
Oh, that's cool.
And the story continues.
So every year you try to kind of, not always, not every house, but at least a couple of them, if you really like what
for
you did
own,
with them.
For our own, you know.
You just build your own thing
the
out
public,
of
public, I'd say a section of them care.
Right.
A section of them don't know, and a section of them are just like, scare me. It's more for us to keep it well-rounded, because if it's got a solid foundation, then it's easier to come up, springboard off of that and come up with the bigger ideas.
That's cool. Yeah, last year we went, we got married, and we went to Halloween Horror Nights, and then early on in the month, and the Halloween house was cool. We loved that because my wife loves Halloween and all that. So we did like a couple houses. The Walking Dead really wasn't that impressive. So when we went to your event at the end, me and my buddy and Nicole went through. Nicole said that the houses were better than most of the houses at Halloween Horror Nights. Which is really a big compliment,
that
considering that's
compliment.
A huge thing. And Halloween wins just because it's Halloween. I mean, come
well,
on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's Halloween.
I would love to interview her then about that, because I would like to know the why, unless you know the why, but I can hypothesize. I mean, and Halloween Horrors is obviously, you know, it's the crown jewel of haunted events.
Yeah.
There's things about it that me, and my age bracket's higher than our demographic, but me personally, you know, I'm not so much about waiting in line. So I like the fact that we're a little more underground. We're a little more mom and pop, and we still don't. We're still small enough in attendance, which is not what we want as event producers. But we're growing, but small enough in attendance to still keep the groups broken into.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that the number one thing I think you did differently, I liked. I mean, granted, we got to jump ahead of line because we're a special guest, but whatever.
Yeah.
But that was awesome too. But I like the group thing, because one of the complaints I had this year that I personally felt when I went to Halloween Horror Nights last weekend, first of all, Freddy vs. Jason out is everything you want it to be. That house is the best house ever, as far as Halloween Horror Nights and licensed movie themes sure. go. The rest of it was okay. Insidious was eh, but whatever. But the problem I had was you get a whole line of people, right? And besides the line itself being forever, I get it. It's a huge event. When you're in there and it's keep going, which I understand. My wife even likes to say, come on, keep walking. The line is kind of long in the house where, you saw that guy jump up 20 feet ahead of you. And then, so you already saw that. So
he's
that ruins, but it's like, well, you already know it's coming.
Yep.
And then, or you miss it because he just jumped in front of three people ahead of you and not you. And then there are people behind you who are getting it.
Yep.
And you're not getting it. You just get the, I mean, I like to look personally at all the stuff, the design,
sure.
because I'm that type of guy.
Man.
I mean, I love all that no matter what haunted house I'm in, because I don't get scared really. I'm just like, that's awesome.
I'm looking at the sets too.
Yeah, I'm like, that's awesome. I'm like, that would be a cool movie set. That would be a cool movie
Half
set.
Half of them are, man. They drag them right off the lots and just.
Exactly. But being in that line and you're like, okay, well, I missed like the scare jump, which wouldn't scare me, but it's cool that he did it.
I want to see it.
Yeah,
see
and you had that perfectly fine timed out, because we only had like five or six people per line per little quick little, you know, you let them, I don't know how you work it out, or maybe let them go like 2 minutes ahead of everybody else.
60 to 90, yeah.
But it works, because when you go through one of your houses, you get the jump and you get the design and you get everything in that, instead of pushing ahead and people behind you pushing you.
They have to more treat you like cattle. And I'm not saying that we don't. We literally have cattle fence for a few lines.
Exactly.
But
I like that.
They've got to have the put through, and we're not to that point yet. Now on a busy night, we still don't do the conga line. We still just do.
I like that though.
15 to 18, which is a big group. And we have to space it out a little more so it doesn't chunk up with the next one and become a 36. Because honestly, for the actor's sake as well, you can't scare 18 people that effectively.
Right.
Eight, sure. You hit that third person and it's going to ripple forward and it's going to ripple backwards. And you almost got the whole group right there. And then, yes, there is an end to the line. And that poor soul who thinks that they're safe once they've left that room is wrong.
Right. Which is awesome.
Yeah. That's the whole point. Front, back, side, up, down.
And that's, you know, I like that, because I didn't really think about it. I mean, I remember last year, but then going into this year, I'm like, all right, cool. And then when we actually went through the house, I'm like, you know what? What was going on at Fright Nights was so much better, because they, obviously, again, you guys are slightly smaller. You do have a lot of people there, but you know what I mean? You can work it that way with, okay, here's a small group, go ahead through. And I think that is like probably one reason why you guys are ahead on at least that line of against like the bigger you know, attractions and, like, you know, Universal. So you guys are awesome with that. I love that.
I appreciate that. What we're trying to do to come up to these other things that we see when we go out of town, we go to House of Shock or we go to Haunted Hoochie. These amazing.
Never heard of that one.
Oh, man, dude.
Where's that at?
It will melt your brain. I just scanned my mind. We were in Ohio and we were on a bus and we. It's in the Midwest. I don't know. It's a blur, man.
So you've been up there for those haunts, like, during the time of year. It's a lot different than down here, being that you get actual cornfields and actual.
And you might be freezing your butt off.
Oh, yeah, that too. Well, that's what.
You're already like.
Yeah, that's what Nicole said, because she's from Pennsylvania. So they have those big haunts where people own a land and they set it all up and you take a hayride, then you go through a couple houses.
Yep.
Down here, it's a little bit different, being we really don't have that type of environment unless you go way out west.
Yeah, there's a few walk through the woods.
So I think it's cool that you guys actually built something close to that, in a sense where you have – you're out in the fairgrounds. There's plenty of room. You got a big old building. You put three houses. Now you got a farm that you built. So I think that's cool. But how is it – your experience when you go up there and see how that goes, do you like try to incorporate that down here? Like, okay, we're not really northern Midwest or northern America, but let's do that, but a little Florida flair, I guess.
A lot of those we can't compete with them. Now, the city ones we can, because they're same thing. They're encapsulated inside of a building.
Right.
The beauty there in, like, a place like St. Louis, for example, is that the building is like 300 years old.
Yeah.
So it's already creepy.
You can
almost just turn the lights on and throw some dudes in there.
Michigan had that. When I lived in a small town in Michigan a couple winters ago, more than that, like 10, they took an old haunted, which they were saying was haunted, opera house. And the downstairs area, they built up a haunt in there and put in the wood and did all that. And they had an upstairs area where people went and hung out, and it was, you know, creepy. So that was already kind of like that, like you're saying. So that's kind of cool. We have some buildings like that in West Palm, though, that are pretty old, too.
There are. Most of them are condemned.
Yeah, right. Let's go to the condemned haunted house. Your biggest threats are not ghosts, but tetanus. And tetanus from the nails.
The hantavirus. What we take away from those big houses is more the set building. And that's Halloween Horror included. We can't obviously compete with a movie studio, but...
You guys do pretty damn well, though.
We're going bigger, we're going wider, or we're going more detailed, or whatever. Mm. I mean, it's raining in one of the haunts this time.
Really?
You know, we've got, not on top of you, but, like, you know, into this little bayou area.
That's cool, though. It's effect.
There's 16-foot stuff. There's stuff where you appear to be walking underground into a grave. There's, you know, we want to push it on the set edge.
So when you do the sets, you really go, like, full blown.
Yeah, it's become crazier and crazier. It used to be that there'd be a couple facades. Oh, you're walking through a storefront. Oh, you're walking through a house. Those are still there. But now those have become the norm. And now we're like, what can we do that no one has seen at this event before that they're going to walk out of here and just be like, oh, my God, what did I just see? Again, for a guy like you or me, regardless of scares, which I still view to be the most important, I need to walk away with a memory, even me, who's almost unscarable. I almost said unscarable. It's just not true. I need to walk out of there and go, I can't believe they recreated this, or I can't believe they did that. So that's what we're striving for as far as...
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty awesome, because you can have people, you know, in a dark room jump at you and do jump scares like they do in those horrible PG-13 movies nowadays, where it's like, oh, cat jumped on you. That was the big scare. I'm like, no, I want to see something.
The music wells up.
Yeah. No, you have it kind of more old school, like, and I guess in a way, like Wes Craven, where, you know, you had to build those boiler rooms, like, for Freddy, and really nail the creepiness detail of
when they first walk in. Okay, I only got 5 seconds, right? They need to walk in, and by the time they scan 180 degrees at that scene, they got to get a feeling.
That's awesome.
They only have that 1-2 seconds before my guy or girl jumps on them anyway. So... if that can add a bit of tension or a bit of whatever, like you said, that boiler room builds tons of tension, or that dark, creepy forest builds the tension for Jason. You know, it's the thing that leads up to the big quintessential moment, and it's not a cat jumping out. Although
that's
there are
cool.
A few cats on the fairgrounds.
Right.
They're just not in the house.
No, I think that's awesome, because, you know, it's really, I think the problem nowadays, I think, is the more we're getting into the millennium, being, you know, in the 2000s, now we're at 2015, is every year it seems like things that we loved growing up, and although we got like a decade apart, my wife and me do too, she's about your age, it's still that decade between, you know, the 40s and 30s is a lot closer though, and idealism as 30s and 20s are now. Like, it's a whole different world. Like, they, somebody 20 comes up and goes, oh, I'm into this. I'm like, I don't know what that is. But somebody your age comes up and goes, oh, I like this album or this. I'm like, oh, I know what that is, because we all grew up in this same kind of thing. Yeah. So when it comes to horror, you know, it's like old school. I mean, new school stuff's some pretty good. The Soska Twins got it. Yeah. But like the Carpenters and the Wes Cravens and all those guys. And when you have a set house, I mean, when you build your house year round, you said like you already got next year's kind of figured out. When does that ever stop? Or are you constantly like, oh, you know what? You might be somewhere and you go, hosh, that might be a good idea.
No, it never stops. Because, again,
you're an artist.
Back to my original thing. I'm lucky enough to spend most of my time outside of just existing and doing laundry and eating, doing creative stuff. So my brain's always cooking. So I could be working on a painting for someone else or lyrics for someone, for some song that me and a friend are singing at some show. And one word in those lyrics could set me off and be like, ah, that's what I'm going to do with that room. I'm going to have one of those things that I just mentioned in this song. It has absolutely nothing to do with Halloween because it's March. So yeah, it happens all the time. And that's cool. I think that's true of my whole team. They're just obsessed with it. We go, we do the Legendary Haunt tour stuff, which keeps the juices flowing. That happens right after Halloween. And then we also go in March to St. Louis to the Trans World, as you mentioned. That keeps the juices flowing. So
yeah,
I'd say the holidays are probably the only time that we don't talk to each other about haunted house stuff. And we're just like, hey, pass the fruitcake, you know?
Makes sense. I'm the same way. Like me and the wife are horror fans. Obviously, she's the horror writer, and I do the horror radio, this show. Hello. And year-round, but there's something special about October. When October hits,
yeah,
everything, like you, and this is really geeky, but it's like you go Super Saiyan. It's time to amp up the energy and power up. Because year round, I'm a horror fan. I got all my stuff in my house and we talk about it, but it's still not the same until you get to October. Once you get to October, despite it being still 87 degrees outside, it's still fall. And I feel the problem now is it's like the rest of the world doesn't get it. It's like 2PC now, where if you had, say, for instance, if you had like a really scary house, which, congratulations, you're doing your job. No shit, it's a haunted house. It's supposed to be scary.
I know.
But people get really, really butthurt, to say the least, about things nowadays. Everything has to be PC. And I know you're an artist, so for you, it's like, well, I'm just going to create whatever I'm going to create because I don't care.
I don't apologize.
You don't apologize. So if you had a scary house, people were like, that was too graphic or that was too offensive. You're like, I don't care.
The one good thing, you are correct. I totally agree with the PC thing across the board. The one good thing is that our demographic has thick skin.
Good.
So I can have the most bloody, horrible, disgusting, non-PC thing, and I hear nary a peep about how bad it was.
Thank God.
No one's complaining. No one's whining. They're there for the scare, and we deliver it. So it's been a happy marriage with the fans of Fright Nights, because I honestly go out of my way to do something. I hate to say that I try to do something over the edge, but there has to be a couple things in there that even I'm like scratching my head like, this could be trouble.
That's good, though.
This could be true.
I mean, that's the point of a haunt and a horror. I mean, obviously, you don't want to go like overboard. But then again, what is overboard? You want to have the most intense, safe, but intense visually audio thing.
Feeling, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing about being in a very confined space like that is everything from attack from all directions.
The smell,
yeah. You got to have a smell.
Everything but taste. It has to be irreverent or it's not.
It doesn't work.
It's not horror. So that's what I like. The team is twisted too, obviously. They don't.
Right.
We're not working on a kid's theme park, so.
Right. We're not doing the South Florida happy-go-lucky fairgrounds.
I want this to be glossy pink with sparkles. It's more like, you know, like hang that guy upside down over a bathtub and have blood draining off his ribs.
See, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I wish there is one of those. Luckily,
yes.
It's one of those in Animal Farm.
If you can make
an old bathtub, I love
for the last house and the last night, if you could have the dummy do a Scanners, that would be perfect, right?
Oh,
just
man.
Like, but it has to be behind like a glass,
yeah,
you know, thing, but like in a room.
No, just have someone like above you throwing spaghetti on you.
That's,
what is that? It's just spaghetti. You're good.
So it's, you know, that kind of goes back to the old Halloween games, you know, where it's like, oh, what's in the bowl of grapes? Oh, it's eyeballs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't look. That's awesome. So it's October. It's Halloween season. It's Halloween all month as far as I'm concerned. Fright Nights is up and running. This is going to be the second weekend. You're going all the way through Halloween. So what's on your Halloween agenda besides Fright Nights? Like any movie, any horror movies you're big into right now? Or?
No, I just watched. I always go. I keep going back. Well, not to classics, but I just watched Black Swan again, which not a true horror movie.
It's
really in
like a thriller kind of thing.
It is twisted, man.
Oh, it's messed up.
And then watching all the special features on all the makeup effects and stuff.
Oh yeah, just you're always working.
Just making me salivate. Like, I should probably move to California, but I think it's even more crowded than Florida. So.
You know, we're actually having there's a big movie movement that's been going on, like up in Orlando.
Started in Atlanta, and it's creeping down now.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because the best way I'd go besides LA is just go indie, man. Indie and underground. Yeah. People are like, it's weird. They're like, oh, if it's not an instant success, it's not any good. I'm like, have you ever heard of The Evil Dead?
Yeah.
I'm like, cult movie got banned from a couple countries, which you know you're doing something right.
That's exactly what we were just talking
about. Yeah. When you get banned, you know you're doing something right. And then so many years later, the fans didn't get enough, I guess, after Army of Darkness, where now they got finally on Stars, Ash versus Evil Dead, which just looks like it's back to the roots of being a gore fest. Yeah. So, you know what? I'll go with cult status, dude.
So, other than Fright Nights, I'd say not much. I mean, I don't really have. By the time I get home from that, I'm not watching a movie.
So, character wise, how's Mr. Eggman doing?
Eggman has taken a turn for the worst.
Really?
And I mean that in a good way.
He's even more psychotic?
Yeah, he's more psychotic, more creepy, more gross.
That's awesome.
He was dressed kind of nice last year.
Yeah.
And when he showed up this year, his hair was greasy.
Total hobo?
Side, looking a little bit, yeah.
That's awesome.
Like he's not allowed near elementary schools.
So where did you come up with that? Because I was going to say, you got a whole Facebook page for it and a whole fandom. Like where did you get the idea to make this like character? Which is awesome, by the way.
I even send him on press, like when it's live TV or something like that.
You send Eggman.
I just send him because he's way better on camera. He can think on his feet. And he's probably going to say something that you have to edit out or try to edit out. If it's live and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I came up with him based on someone I worked with.
Oh, jeez.
When I was painting houses. Obviously, he's the amped up version of him, but really not that much. This guy is the type of guy who has a 12-pack before I pick him up at 7 o'clock to go. We're painting houses, right?
Yeah. You
know, commercial painting. And he's already, you know, not drunk because this is a professional drinker, but good and saucy. And he gets in the car, and everything he says is just extreme, you know, because he's always super buzzed, sexist,
race,
probably racist,
everything,
just the most narrow-minded beast of a human.
He's like that uncle at Thanksgiving that you kind of know and never see.
He's a couple steps back on the evolutionary chart, all that thing, except he's somehow standing upright, don't know how. But yeah, he gave me so much fodder, even the especially the accent, that I basically stole his personality to a point and just recreated it and I'm obsessed with clowns, so I threw clown makeup on him.
Yeah.
He does have an alter ego that is plain faced. And this year I'm closer to that than ever. It's less cake white and a little more just dirty grubby with a few clown elements. So yeah, just mash those two together, and the more people I talk to and scare and heckle and converse with, the more well-rounded that guy gets, because I just the character, you know, has been worked out for hours and hours and hours at this point.
So, yeah. And you got it. I remember I saw him last year, and that was crazy. And you had the cart, and you know, or what was it, a cart or like a bike?
I have a three-wheel bike.
Yeah, it was a three-wheel bike.
I mean, he has a three-wheel bike.
That guy. But every night Fright Nights is open, he's there.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little longer for him to get on the midway.
Because
he's drunk? No.
He's over by the Ferris wheel. He's like the guy you would dunk in that.
Yeah, totally. Actually, we do have the dunk clown there again. Different guy, but yeah.
You should have like Eggman that, but instead of water, it should be like blood.
That's a good idea. Yeah. We actually talked about getting our own dunk tank, but I'm like, who would sit in there all night? Like, even
you got too much to do.
Yeah, I'd rather be out talking to people and heckling them and taking pictures with them.
Yeah, which is cool.
That's Eggman's main function is baby kisser and handshaker. There's no babies there, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, he's there every night. He's been out the first two nights, and he'll be out every other night being a jerk, because that's what he does.
You take pride in that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be a jerk, so someone has.
I think it's cool. I think that's really cool to have like an ultra. It's kind of like wrestling. You know, you get you and then you get the character that you either amp up like Steve Austin or the CM Punk. And
yeah, you go
and
you're cool, you're mild mannered. As soon as you don the whatever it is.
He totally got like the Clark Kent thing. You got the glasses, and then you take it off, and you're like, who's that guy? I don't know that hobo clown.
It's exactly the same, though.
There is a picture, I think. Isn't there like an artwork of a hobo clown that from ever that's been around forever that somebody painted up?
Yeah, Emmett.
That's essentially the new Eggman. It's going to be that clown.
He actually has glasses now. He found these big, gigantic, like
hipster super glasses.
Super nerdy, like almost like old woman glasses. And it just goes in with the whole thing. Yeah, the greasy hair and the crud all in his beard.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's horrible. He's more horrible than ever. My operations manager, Alex, actually talked me into switching him up. He's like, you got to ditch the hat. You know, you need to freshen him up. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, looking back at 3 years, pretty much
was on
the same level. Yeah, still colorful and all that jazz, but his look and his demeanor.
It's always good to add something to the, to the thing.
I mean, that's a perfect example of my creative team. We all just nudge each other all the time, even during operation. Now everything's done and everything's designed and everything's built.
You can always.
It's on, but even still, hey, dude, you know what would work? Why don't you take that thing out of that room and put it in that room or move the light from there to there? We're doing this during, you know, during operation.
That's
not,
fine.
Not while people are in there. The night before.
That would be weird. Like, excuse
don't
us.
Flatter.
You know, it's part of the decor.
Don't mind that guy with the headlamp and the tool belt.
Hey, down there, there's that guy coming up on you. Are you drunk? No! No, that's cool, but the fairgrounds is going well. What else is any other events? You got like a Halloween party, right, or something coming up?
Oh yeah, that's right. Thank you for bringing it up because
I try to pay attention.
We need to push it because we want people to enjoy it and realize how fun it actually is. It was well attended last year, so we want to keep that going. It's called Monster Bash. It's on October 25th, which is a Sunday, but it starts early enough to where you can bring the kiddies out and they're back out of there by 8:30 or 9.
Cool.
So I believe we have it up as 7 to midnight or 6 to midnight. It serves as our cast party, which I find to be what is the cool part of it. If someone wanted to do this or is interested about how it works or just wants to hang with all of those freaks, because we have like over 100 of them, that's the night to do it. We're all just there dancing, eating some food, having some drinks.
Is that at the fairgrounds?
Fun. Yeah.
Cool.
And it's a costume party and contest. So
that's awesome.
People are going to walk away. We have $1,000 worth of prizes split over three, first, second, and third place. And working on getting some not celebrity judges, but judges in the business.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be more legitimized than ever as far as like what the costumes are. And we've seen some really creative stuff, which is always fun because you're like, I personally like the ones where someone comes as some big thing, you know?
Yeah.
The I guess the equivalent of Daniel LaRusso dressing up like a shower. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might be corny, but you're like, look at the ingenuity. So we see some of that stuff, and then we see little kids with their, you know, medium-sized sister with their mom, and they're all dressed, you know, and they answer the contest. So, yeah, it's a good time.
I'm glad. Cast party. And I'm glad. I like costumes, and I think it's cool when people really go far out and do, even with no money, you can still come up with something good.
Yep.
And the problem...
Mrs. LaRusso did it.
I think the problem now is, like, if you look on, like, Facebook, which... It's a problem anyway. I don't look on Facebook for anything. But is like everything's like going towards like, the slutty Ninja Turtle or slutty Thor. And I'm like, no, it happened to being scary on Halloween. You're supposed
slutty
to be.
Slutty everything.
I miss the days. Like, and I don't understand it. These costumes are so crappy and cheap. Not just for what they are, but just the way they look. And I'm like, you got people. This is like the cosplay age. Everybody's into that stuff right now. Where these people sew and build their costumes. And I mean, there was a guy at New York Comic Con. It was a giant Hulkbuster,
nice.
Which is the Iron Man's big enough. The Hulkbuster is like twice the size to fight the Hulk. And I'm just like, holy crap! This thing lights up and
wow.
And yet people don't want to like take the effort to dress up for Halloween. Like what the hell?
1999.
I miss those days.
Slutty nurse.
No, I'm talking about like back in the day where you put on a really cool hockey mask and be like a really cool Jason.
Jazz it up.
Yes, but
yeah, my mom always made my stuff, which was probably the beginning of this whole story.
Here you are.
But I prefer that, obviously, from a creative standpoint. It's more fun to go to a party and not see a bunch of stuff you just saw on the wall at Party City.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you. The scary thing is more fun, and of course that's for the dudes. The girls, it's all an excuse to show some skin that they would never
You could be a otherwise. I don't know. I can see some hot vampires and still be sexy.
I'm down with that.
And Frankensteins. Maybe.
Sex sells, my friend. We know this.
Yes, we're in the age. But I'm old school when it comes to, you know, I'm a big Halloween in general fan of the month of October, and what you do is amazing because not everybody can go to Universal. It's very pricey. You have a very nice price for doing the houses that you do, plus the Midway.
I appreciate that. We've been at the same price point for a while.
Yeah.
You can go there for $25 and see 3 out of the 400 houses and go on unlimited rides. So that's your whole night. I mean, if you want the 400 house, you can pay an extra $5. You know, that's how we treat that thing. Most people, if they don't show up early, they're not going to get all 4 houses on a busy night. So
right.
That's why we have that fourth house kind of floating out there. And they can choose any haunt they want. They go to the same one 3 times, 4 times if they like.
That's cool.
It's not a specific ticket. It's just a little punch card that has 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're trying hard. You know, costs are rising. Labor is more expensive. Materials more expensive, crazy expensive. Since we're a teardown, material is a huge.
Yeah, because
we lose 20-30% on a teardown.
Yeah. So, well, and you don't really use the same sets over and over, right?
I mean, a few roof lines and things that are big and ridiculous and beautiful.
But everything else you paint up and create that, you know, well before October. I know you guys are building.
Too. Yeah. So the reason I'm bringing that stuff up is not to cry blues, but to say that to do that, to have rising costs and keep the price point at the same place.
It's pretty good.
Is a challenge. I'm not saying the price will never go up. You know, it really depends on what the market bears. But at $25, you're not going to get anything like it anywhere else.
No, not for 3 houses, not for a Midway. I mean, there's a couple other haunts, little ones, nice ones here and there, different parts of Florida, not all really clustered together. And they have like maybe two houses and stuff together, which isn't bad. And you got a whole fairgrounds, big building and everything, and $25 for that is not bad at all.
Yeah, we're blessed. I mean, we went up 1 year, brought it up, and made an all-inclusive ticket, which was really just still the same price point, but it had that $5 added on it.
Yeah.
And the public perception of seeing that three just after that dollar sign, man, their heads almost flew off their bodies.
Wow.
So, you know, we're creeping it back to the 25. As far as advertising is concerned, it's still really the same price. If you want to do everything, it's $30. We also have that RIP pass, too, which is only $5. So if the lines are nuts, you show up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday because, well, you had better things to do than get there early, you can get the $5 RIP, and you can skip the line. It's $5 per house, but nonetheless.
That's not bad.
So for another $20... So for $50, you get 400 houses in full admission and unlimited rides. So
that's not bad at all, especially, you know, being that we're in West Palm and everything's open late. You can knock out a night at Fright Nights, and if you want to head down to Clematis or Northwood or whatever is open, totally can do it. I think that's awesome.
I highly suggest an early arrival. I always say Midway's up at 6. You can ride rides from 6 to 7, and you get in line for the houses at 7. They open at 7. You can go 1, 2, 3, 4. By 9 o'clock, when everyone else shows up, you can either leave or chill.
Yeah. And I think that opening at 7 is really awesome because it's starting to get dark early. Yeah. You don't want to go through a haunted house during the day. It sucks.
The animal farm being outside, 7:30 is dusk.
Yes.
It's the most choice time.
Because it's like in so between.
Creepy. So creepy. Yeah, because things
You're out west, too, where the sun's actually setting, too. Yeah, so yeah, you get looks, that line. Yeah.
And it's all, so everything muddles together. You know how it's hard to drive at dusk for people because things start to turn into everything's gray.
Yeah.
Various tones of gray.
So you got
so
this.
So you got that with the lights, with the blood, and it's like movie quality. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Run some film.
That house should only be open at dusk. So you only get a limited ride. Like
dusk is like that too. It's like 7:30 to 7:40. Yes. All right, everyone out.
Yeah, that's the house. Go to the other houses that are inside. But you know what I want to say is I really enjoy having the outside thing is awesome because it's authentic. It's outside. It's real. But when you can create that inside too, like you guys do with a set where it's dark and you can put lights up that make it look like night in some areas, which I love. I love that about haunted houses and set pieces in general because it's like, it's not night, but my God, it looks like it's night in here. And it's kind of fun because, you know, you go outside like, oh, there's the sun.
Yeah.
I'm weird like that. I like we're a nighttime more.
We're borrowing tricks from movies, you know, like literally just a strong incandescent blue light hitting the top of a building
looks
gives you that moonlight thing.
And I love it.
And if you turn around and look, you can find that bulb somewhere. Yeah.
But
if
why?
You're that guy. But you know, you and I both know that as long as it hints at the story or hints at the scene that we're trying to portray, it's done its job.
It's a win, yeah.
Yeah, because most people are not looking around for the bulb. They're more worried about who's about to
jump out,
come out from behind or underneath or whatever. So
Fright Nights, it's the next. Let's see, we got what, 3 weeks till Halloween. Yeah, so this year, it actually nights. Are you doing? It's only Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right?
Yeah, but lucky for us, Halloween's on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, so Halloween this year is the last night.
Yep.
Last year was on the first. Yeah, okay. And what else? Anything else you want to like? Anything big other than the Halloween party? And then you got the prices down, which is still. Everybody, $25 to go to three houses and unlimited rides, and which you're not going to get it that cheap at the fair during January for the midway.
And I've been to haunted houses that are $20-$25, and you're in and out in 10-15 minutes.
Now yours lasts pretty good distance.
You come out the back door. I mean, of the whole run, you come out the back door and there is nothing there.
No,
you're back in the parking lot.
You lead right to the midway.
Yeah, get in your car, boy.
Yeah. Leave.
That's the other thing. There's scare zones, which we always have.
Yeah.
Right when you walk in, there's a scare zone facing you.
Is it the same type as last year? You had all those old beat up cars I like.
Nope.
No, this year different.
Different. We have something called the Shack, which I won't tell what's in there.
Okay.
Or what's not in there. It's not really a walkthrough. It's like a zone where you have to get past it to get to the rides.
And you got people in there. Yep. Yeah.
And
nice.
Then there's another one that's before the lines, which is called Sector 4. It's kind of a tie-in to Meadow Lakes. It's got a military
feel.
Kind of the zombie thing is hinted at there. And then, as usual, when you come out of the houses, there's another one called Baphomet, which is based on the full moon and werewolves and other
nice.
That demons and stuff back
that's
there.
Cool.
So, no escape.
You're good.
You come out of the house, you're like, oh my God, that was scary. I'm so glad we're out. No, exactly. There's someone there waiting for you. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're thrilled about that. We brought in some new blood this year. Actually, Jennifer worked on Baphomet. Okay, she's one of our featured characters. And so she expressed interest in designing, so we gave her a task, and she pulled it off.
Very cool.
This is true of Travis as well. Travis was on the construction crew last year. This year we gave him Sector 4, and he worked on Meadow Lakes with Alex, my operations manager, to make that happen. So a new blood there. Glennis and I, like I said, worked on Animal Farm together. Last year she was a set painter, and she messed with makeup. So she's new blood there. So there's three people on the team that weren't previously on the team, which is always good because they shake things up for us.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we sit at a round table and toss ideas around. And then you got Brad and Kelly working on Memento Mori. They're veterans of designing houses. They've been there. Brad's been there since 02, I think. He's half the reason I got out there. And then Jeremy worked on Beyond the Gates. He's the other half of the reason that I actually ended up out there. Kind of rode their coattails from a haunted house on Clematis out to the fairgrounds.
So I remember the haunted house on Clematis.
Yeah, D&D Center.
Nice. Yeah, a long time ago.
A very long time ago. Probably 01.
Yeah, it was 01. I remember that.
So those gentlemen actually put that together and were the set dressers and some of the primary characters in there, and also the coordinating of actors, which myself and my ex-wife were two of those actors on a team that actually some of those people ended up at Fright Nights as well. So pretty cool. So I followed those gentlemen out there. They're still designing houses and still doing a great job at it. So
very
team,
awesome.
Man, with the new blood and with the veterans, it's just a beautiful mix. It's been better than ever. Like even wardrobe stepped up. We got a young girl named Wyoming that is taking the reins under Glennis's supervision to create custom pieces, which we really don't usually mess with super custom stuff that's actually put under a sewing machine. Usually we kind of, we'll glue it, we'll tie it, we'll do it, we'll dirty it up, and it's ready to go. But this year it's like, specific pieces on cuffs and things like that.
Yeah.
Again, most won't notice, but someone who cares is going to look and go, what the heck is that? I've never seen that before.
Right.
You know, it's crafty. So, thrilled, man. Absolutely thrilled.
Good Fright Nights 2015. So next year you're amped up for that again. So that's good. I'm sure we'll know more about that towards next year. But this year, I mean, from everything you told me, it just sounds awesome.
I would be glad to talk to you again in the spring if you want to.
After
Trans World, everything's kind of nailed down at least to a preliminary point.
Okay.
So we could tease what the house is, you know.
That'd be awesome.
Might be about. Because I will say this, too. You think you got it in March, and then in July you're like, dude, I ripped up my entire map. I hate my theme. And I'm, you know. And then the other thing that happens is when we go to the Trans World and we see all the props, the new stuff, sometimes that is the beginning. painting of a house. You see a mask or a weapon or a something.
And you think.
And you're just like, perfect. All right, yeah, my original idea is crap now. I'm doing this. So, yeah. I would love to talk to you. You're busy, Adam. You're doing it.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Now, yeah, it actually helps because then I'm not so not doing it. It's in October. I'm so yeah, because it's like you know we're lucky with the fan base we got because to be honest with you, I do a lot of punk rock stuff on the other show, which you know I know a lot of the bands around here and stuff, but I didn't really blow up really more until the horror stuff, which I've always been in the horror. I just really wanted to find somebody to do it with. That wasn't on my other show and ended up being Nicole. And, like, people online, year-round, horror fans. Oh, yeah. Horror movies, horror books, horror punk, which is what we really do well with is playing all the horror punk because those bands take what I love about punk rock and add a little misfitsy, too many, sometimes too much misfits. But they do that, and I think it helps year-round because... Really, it sucks that you know, for the most part, for the normalcy of you know just regular people, it's October, and I'm like, there's so much more year round you can do. So to have somebody else get like, all right, it's March, and I know it's you know it would be kind of weird to be in a haunted house right now because it wouldn't have the same feeling as October, but we can talk about building when I'm like, yes, yeah, you know, you look out the window, what I heard.
I mean, dude, by this rationale, it's like, you can only eat turkey on Thanksgiving. No, of course you can have
turkey year round. Yeah, but I think what like we said earlier though, is as much as I love it year round, there's just something about October because it's instilled in your brain since you were a kid. Much. It's so like October horror movies are on. Time to go trick or treating. Here's your ghost outfit.
5 degrees cooler.
Maybe, yeah. Well, it used to. I remember it used to be a lot cooler, but that's a whole other discussion compared to what's happening now. Where it's just so hot.
Yeah.
But I love that about horror and haunted houses to the point where I was a kid. I get scared of stuff now, but I get in like work mode when I go through a house. I get scared in a sense where I'm like, oh my god, that guy jumped out. He was awesome looking. And then look at all the stuff around me. And to me, that plays to my inner nerd of going, if I ever build a house, it'd be mm-hmm. like this. Like, this is...
I would change this. I would make this.
Yeah, yeah. Have a couple of lights. My only restriction is, much like you said with cost of things, like, you know, where I work, we have very limited Halloween stuff. But I go to a Halloween store, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, that'd be cool. Then I'm like, cost too damn much. Okay. Everything costs too damn much.
It adds up so fast.
It does. But you guys are really cool because I like the fact that you or guys are like you said earlier, underground DIY. You do this because you love it. You know it'll draw people in who are also, again, where else other than maybe your friend's Halloween party, which, hey, that's awesome. I think this, more people should have Halloween parties. But where else are you going to go to get a scare? Like up north, dude, everybody who has a farm, they'll have haunts here or there. Yeah. We're in the middle of South Florida in a very diverse area. Palm Beach County is huge in culture of all sorts of different things, art and everything else. So I think that – and Fright Nights has been around. I know we used to took the reins a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been around since I remember I saw it as a kid.
Yeah. I think it was also a one.
Yeah. And now it's just – you turn it into this mecca, you know, it's underground fun. Awesome event where it's like – you know, we heard on 95.5, and of course, advertise all you can. You need to get people out there. But I like it too, because at its core, it's like people that love horror and love haunted houses and, you know, like you guys and weird stuff, you get to make it, and people like me and just a girl who wants to get scared anyway, yep. comes through.
Come and appreciate it.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool. So I always keep up the good work.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely probably come back in March and then in July when you're like, no, I got this other idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you're like, we have to build in August. Oh, no.
I'll probably just lie to you in March and then I don't want to give it away, dude. I changed my mind.
All right, so there's this puzzle box and there might be a demon with some nails in his head. Clyde Barker's not listening, right? And I'm like, no.
Oh, yes, licensed
material. Dude, you know how cool that a Hellraiser house would always be awesome. They could it ever get the right. But you know what? It'd almost be like, let Clive do it because he's sick. But you know, Clive, he does all the set designs for most of his movies.
He does flirt with haunted houses. I don't know if he's ever...
I think it'd be a sick haunted house.
Someone was throwing one a few years ago, and they had discussions with his people about possibly getting him to... come in and do not hands-on set design, but to kind of
just
watch over,
approve over. Yeah. Did you meet his people over at Shock Pop when you were there?
No,
I didn't. Oh, Seraphim Films. They had a whole table.
I came too late, I think.
Oh, those were the Clive Barker people that worked directly with Clive. They had the Nightbreed uncut version on sale. I'm like, yes. You know, my wife loves Clive Barker. Nightbreed really needs to be seen that way because the theatrical cut kind of ruined it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we love Halloween here. So Underground Horror Radio, Fright Nights. Please go to West Palm Beach. Go on the website, which is what, Fright Nights?
MyFrightNights.com, which I have not mentioned once because I am a rookie.
No, you're good. I usually save it to the end. But, no, you got Fright Nights. You're on Facebook. Eggman's on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
He steals Wi-Fi from coffee shops.
Totally.
And bars, so
totally.
That's how he gets on there.
He's the worst. He reaches into those blue mailboxes and steals your bills and your checks as well.
He steals your new phone you ordered.
Complete scumbag.
So check out Eggman on there as well. Are you guys on Twitter or no?
There is a Twitter handle, but I can't spit it out now.
What about Instagram?
Instagram is My Fright Nights.
So that's cool because really, visually, that gives it away more if you
it
can
does.
See stuff.
And it'll start to ramp up now. In September, it was kind of quiet. It's new. It's new for us. The Facebook is juicy, but the Instagram is just a little baby.
It's really easy. What you do with that is you take a picture of whatever it is, and you just hashtag the hell out of it with horror, haunted houses, haunts, South Florida. Yep. You do that with
Demon,
all those
zombie.
Yeah, thing. You do any of that, and whoever's interested in it, even if they don't
they
live here, it pops up on their feed. Yeah, so it's really awesome with that. As much as I'm not the biggest social media guy, please check out Underground Horror Radio on Facebook. And yeah, I'm horrible, but definitely check that out. So everybody, Fright Nights, Craig. What else besides that? Well, that's awesome, and I'm glad we plugged that. But you got any other little art stuff you want to quickly plug? I mean, you're a man of many talents. I can't.
You can search me. I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I do music. I do art. I do set design. I do graphic design.
Amazing.
I organize art events. I do a little bit of curation. I'm president of a not-for-profit that promotes local artists here in Palm Beach County. Co-owner of a business called Mobile Murals that does events. We bring paint by numbers and other things like that.
Nice.
Paint and wine events. So me and my clone do all those things. Like, God, I wish I had a clone. So if you just search me personally, Craig McInnes, CRAIGMC, capital INNIS on Facebook, you will find me incessantly posting about these myriad of things that I work on.
I see it all the time, and I love it. Especially when you do your late-night jams sometimes on your guitar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like, hey, I got an idea.
Instead of sleeping, sometimes my brain's like, let's make a song. And I'm like, no, it's midnight. But, I've got to get it out. If I don't do creative stuff, I'm a miserable prick. Let the record show.
Yeah, no, I believe it. That's like most artists. But that's cool, though. I think I wouldn't say envious because I guess in a way this is art too, what I do. But I mean, and I do a lot of stuff on the computer itself. But it's really an awe to see somebody go, look what I did just because I wanted to do it.
Yeah,
and this is what I'm into. And I think a lot of people don't appreciate that. And I think they should. I mean, not everything is, the art is, the eye of the person looking at it. Someone might think it looks, and then the other person's like, that's amazing. I'm going to take it home. So I thank you for that as well. And everything you do for the area and for the underground and for everybody that wants to do something. We live in a world now where everything's really lazy and on their computer, on their phone. And I'm guilty too sometimes. And sometimes I just don't want to do anything. I'm tired. But I'm glad that people like you are out there doing something, going, hey, look, you can do this if you want to do it. Yeah. Just do it.
I'm not still old school that way, and that's why I say
– That's good, though.
I say contact me, email me, call me, whatever.
Yeah.
Ask me a question. Find out if I'll collaborate with you on such and such project. I mean, I've worked on – been lucky enough to work on a major motion picture.
Nice.
I've worked on some small underground B-movie type stuff here. I mean, I'm a collaborator. I'm a yes man. I like to help other people figure out what the heck they're doing. And if I have something in my bag of tricks or in my Rolodex that I can hand you, I will gladly hand it to you because like you're hinting at or like we talked about earlier in the conversation, stuff is going so online and so narcissistic in me and my little universe and the island mentality. And it's not no longer a community. And I'm generalizing. It's not everyone.
No.
But it's going in that direction, and it needs to go the opposite direction. You know, friends used to be face-to-face, and now it's this other whole nebulous thing. So I'm all about that old school stuff. I'm about collaboration and about you're supposed to help each other.
Yeah.
You know, good people clump together. We all push each other up the ladder, and no one has to come back down the other side of the ladder.
Yeah, and I'm with, you know, I think that's great because there's so much out there that everybody can do as far as creativity. It's just a matter of what you want to do, and it's I love it about, you know, going somewhere and seeing something and go, oh, that was pretty cool. Who came up with that? You know, even if it's I know a lot of people online that do cool stuff. I know a lot of people that review horror movies on YouTube that are funny and come up with a character, and I love that because it's, you're not just like, oh yeah, the movie was like crap. No, it's a guy that put the effort in and editing. And people think it's easy. It's not. Art, no matter whether it's editing something or it's painting something or it's writing something or playing the guitar, which I'm now just barely kind of getting the bass going.
Cool.
It's not easy. No. Some people it looks easy, then it's like, no.
It's multifaceted. It's all multifaceted. Yeah. That's what makes it so great when it comes out and becomes art. Even if it's the bass guitar, even if it's pottery, even if it's cooking.
Yeah.
All those slices, those layers of dynamics that make it cool is what the person who's enjoying that art doesn't even realize they're getting, this big fat swatch of your soul.
Yeah.
Your skill. You know? That's what's beautiful about art. It's not just this one dimensional thing like, yeah, I want a cheeseburger, here's your cheeseburger. No, I want art, and then here comes this thing that you can't even put your mind around necessarily. That's the beautiful thing.
So there it is, everybody. By the way, if you happen to be in Jupiter or any other part of South Palm Beach County, if you happen to see a cool mural, it could be done by this man. He's like the mural like bandit. Oh, you know what? He's like a modern day a Florida Banksy kind of.
Oh God, I wish. No.
Oh. I do. Banksy's crazy.
Oh, his political statements. Yeah, That's a whole other show. Yeah, I keep my politics to myself generally, but yeah, his
Banksy, yeah.
Not only is it technically cool, but man, oh man, does it get you thinking.
Especially you don't even know who he is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, my stuff is the big difference between he and I, besides, no, I don't have a political edge on that stuff, is because I'm doing public works for cities.
You can't.
No, yeah, you can't. My stuff's sanctioned, and his stuff is unsanctioned.
And that's
and
still
he'll
cool.
risk his life. And I'm like, I can't get on a 12-foot ladder. It's too high. You know? So
right.
He's a.
I just mean that you're the moral guy.
I appreciate
around
it.
Here.
I got stuff.
No, that's
I'm
cool.
Lucky. I'm lucky.
Yeah, no, I think, again, you know, it's one thing to love what you do. That is like the most important thing. But I think the other thing is, if you can kind of somewhat make a living on what you do and still not completely crush whatever values you have to do it, that's even better. So, you, again, blessed man here.
I'm already a success.
You did everything you wanted to do.
Yep, I'm still doing it. I'm still moving in that direction. So,
that's an important thing. So, everybody, please check out Fright Nights and just check out West Palm. It's a fun place. Now, if you live in another country, like England loves the show, you got stuff in England, Banksy, you're good. But if you live in Florida, come hang out down in town, West Palm Beach, the old district. Northwood, I've been here a couple times. I've been here for a couple of art shows and vendors and stuff. It's awesome. Harold's is right here. Harold's is cool. We've interviewed Harold's before. Just do something with your life. Anyway, happy Halloween, Fright Nights. Please go to South Florida Fairgrounds.
Bye.
Bye.